Hello and welcome to another episode of Radio Gore Press. We're up to episode 5, I think.
There we are.
I'm Sarah. Joining me, as always, is Phil.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I am good. I'm recovering from the lurgy, the dreaded lurgy that plagued me for the past...
It's been weeks, five, isn't it?
It's been months.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Full bill of health now, though.
Getting there.
Yeah.
Getting there.
Raring to podcast again.
Indeed.
That's the important thing.
That's why I'm here.
Like, screw health. Podcast comes first.
Horror over health.
Hell yeah. That should be our motto. Horror over
health.
There we
go. You're welcome.
No, if that's our motto, then technically we should have recorded last week.
Yeah. Horror over health. But
except
only,
in severe circumstances. Yeah. You get a free pass for that one. Obviously, we are a little bit late with this one, so we do apologise. We're going to be covering Sam Raimi's Drag Me to Hell this week, which we're both kind of psyched about.
Definitely.
It's only actually the second time I've ever seen that film.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it was maybe third or fourth, I think.
Okay.
I saw it in the cinema.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I saw it on DVD when it first came out, and I'd been kind of jonesing to see it again, so it was a cool suggestion. Well done.
Thank you.
Before then, we've not got a list for you this time.
We couldn't work out what genre this was. Usually
well,
we go genre-wise,
yeah.
But is it horror comedy? Horror with comedy elements?
You were pushing the horror comedy, weren't you?
Yeah, we can perhaps talk about that later, but it's hard to find a...
I see, to me, it's a horror film with elements of dark comedy.
Okay.
Like, there's no denying it's funny in places.
Yeah.
But I would definitely not pin it as a comedy.
I pitched Evil Dead 2, basically. Not quite as slapstick as Evil Dead 3,
not as,
but not as...
Not as kind of zany.
Yeah.
I don't think zany's the right word, but it's the first one that came to me. Yeah. But definitely comedic elements.
Mm.
We can agree on that.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, we're going to talk a little bit about some news. It's probably old news now by the time this goes out, but we want to talk about it anyway. And what we've seen lately. So we'll start with, obviously, Tucker and Dale 2.
Yeah.
Has been announced.
It's rather exciting.
How do we feel about that? Well, you just said exciting, so...
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm curious. I think they're going to have to... I mean, they wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
End of Tucker and Dale 1, they wrap it up.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
it's definitely
I think they're
going
to have to
film.
No, they're either going to have to change the. See, I don't know. I genuinely don't know because it's very. It was a very self-contained film.
Yeah,
I mean, both actors have. Well, I think I can't remember whether it was Alan Tudyk or.
I can never remember his name.
I looked his name. Isn't it something?
I follow him on Twitter.
Really,
I can't remember his name.
Oh,
it's gone.
Professional.
To Google!
To Levine or something, isn't it? Something like that.
Oh, Tyler Labine.
That's the one, Labine.
Yeah, no, because I remember him from Reaper years ago.
Of course,
he was great
yeah.
in that.
But they've gone on record saying that they're not going to do it if it's shitty.
Well, good on them.
So, yeah, but still.
Let's hope they're good judges of whether or not it's shitty.
Not sure how to where to pitch that one. I mean, I loved the first one.
Yeah.
I adored the first one.
I'm going to remain positive on this one, I think, just because I fell in love with the characters so much that I want to see more of them.
Yeah, they've got such a chemistry between them, those two. They were so good.
definitely. And I would watch another film. I would watch another subpar film with those two characters
those two,
in. Just to see that rapport again.
That's fair enough.
Is it the same team behind it? Is it the same writer and director?
I think so.
Well, that bodes well.
Yeah.
That bodes well. Yeah. I'm...
He's hoping.
I'm remaining upbeat about this one. I'm quietly confident that it's going to be another fun film.
Yeah.
The other thing that happened in the last couple of weeks is Ryan Murphy is a massive lying turd. For probably months now, people have been touting American Horror Story Series 4 as... Ooh, maybe it's a circus, maybe it's a cabaret, maybe it's a carnival. And Ryan Murphy went on record as saying, no, it's definitely nothing like any of those things. Except now he's come out and said, actually, it is exactly like those things. So, American Horror Story, I think, is the official working title Freak Show?
I think so.
Is it Freak
Show?
That's
what I remember, yeah.
Which could be, like, if they nail it, if they knock it out of the park, amazing.
I know you're fond of your freak shows, aren't you?
I am.
Shows. Whatever the political correct...
Very much so. Very much so.
Them.
I don't think there is one these
Who
days.
Knows, no.
It's just kind of frowned upon in this day and age. But, you know, back in the day, I think it's, is it, I think it's, oh god, I can't get my words out. It's either going to be set around the First or Second World War, or just, okay. Maybe it's the 60s.
Okay.
Because I think Jessica Lange is playing a German expat, and it's post-war, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so that could be interesting. She's been boning up on a German accent.
Here's hoping she pulls it off.
Yeah, she is wonderful. I have a lot of love for Jessica Lange, and she's kind of, she's been the saving grace of all three seasons so far. But as you well know, I have a love-hate relationship with American Horror Story. I remember watching the first episode of season one and being kind of like, oh my god, horror TV.
We watched it together, didn't we?
We did. I think I'd already seen it at that point. Okay. I was like, oh, you must watch this. Yeah, it's like, it's going to be really promising. And yeah, the first episode, it didn't like blow me away, but because there's so, because horror TV is so thin on the ground, especially good horror TV, I was really hopeful. And then as the series wore on, I only finished it because I felt like I committed. I'd come this far. It was terrible. Just devolved into cliche, and it became really, really obvious and trite. And then series two, a lot of people seem to like series two for the reasons that I didn't like series two.
That was the asylum one, wasn't it?
It was. The setting was great. It was really fun in places, but they kind of took every single element from the first film, like ghosts, dead people, all the darkness, like, what else? There was loads of stuff, like criminals, and, you know, added an asylum element.
Yeah.
And aliens.
Okay, of course.
And sort of some Dr. Frankenstein type, and we didn't know who was dead or alive, or maybe that person was possessed by the devil. Who knows?
All a bit mental.
It was very much the everything, including the kitchen sink method of TV. Okay. And it rubbed me up the wrong way because it didn't seem to excel at any one of the things it tried to do.
Yeah.
It was reasonably enjoyable, but not my favourite. Whereas Coven, thanks to American Movie.
I'd say Coven, but...
It's Coven, but yeah. I don't know. Have you seen American Movie? It's a wonderful documentary. Okay. You should watch it. But he makes a film. It's basically a guy called Mark Borchardt. And he is intent on making a film that he calls Coven.
Okay.
Because he doesn't know how to pronounce Coven. So that's... Yeah, that's spilled over for me. That was my favourite. And I think that was largely due to the fact that it brought a sense of humour that the series seemed to lack before.
Yeah.
Not that it was ever po-faced, but I think it took itself a little bit too seriously at some points, whereas this was kind of like quippy and fast-paced. Okay. And like Angela Bassett was in it, Kathy Bates, they got a really great cast.
Okay.
And it was, yeah, it was very silly again.
Yeah.
But the most enjoyable for me.
So fingers crossed, I guess.
Yeah. Still fell a little bit apart towards the end, but probably the most cohesive of the series. So yeah, I am quite hopeful for series four, mostly because I've just been in a decade long depression after Carnival ended.
I was about to say, they're gonna have to be careful to not step on Carnival's shoes, aren't they?
They've got some big shoes to fill.
Yeah, mind you, Carnival was like the clown shoes. Dirt ball. Yeah, nice. Like the dirt ball, wasn't it? Dust ball.
Dust ball era. Yeah.
So 30-ish. So
yeah,
I guess they're distancing themselves by era.
Yeah, I mean, I think with a title like Freak Show, it would have to be a period piece.
Yeah,
but they've probably made a wise decision to steer clear of that. I'm excited. I am. I'm not going to pin all my hopes on it, but I am quite excited. So yeah, that's about it for news. There's a couple of films you wanted to mention that we're kind of looking forward to.
Yeah.
Oh, and a TV show.
Yeah. Well, there's something about like Victoriana I always quite enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Like steampunk.
And so obviously with the release of, or the kind of mention of Penny Dreadful, I kind of got a bit curious. Now, the more I look at it, and plenty of other people have picked up on this, the more it just comes across as just the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I hadn't realised, actually. I'd seen the first trailer that was released, but it wasn't until we looked into it and you told me the actual synopsis, I was like,
sounds very familiar. I mean, obviously, I guess there's nothing wrong with that. They're all kind of, they're in public domain anyway, so it's not as if he's It's not as if they're stealing the characters, but...
Yeah, they're not... Like, Alan Moore can't lay claim to them any more than whoever's made the TV show can, so...
Exactly. But still, I mean, you know, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. I mean, we both know how League of Extraordinary Gentlemen went, so, you know...
Yeah. Such a good concept.
I'm...
Such a turdy execution.
I don't hate it with quite as much vitriol as you do.
I really hate it.
I think it works pretty well as a shut your brain off and just watch movie for me.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's quite enjoyable. And I think that's all it is to me, really. Like, it's nothing... I mean, obviously, I don't mean to kind of imply that Alan Moore's work is the same, because obviously I know he's very well regarded in his
field.
Oeuvre.
Oeuvre. I love that word. Oeuvre. That's a good word.
So yeah, I'm not meaning to imply that his graphic novels are the same, but yeah, it was pretty shallow, wasn't it?
Yeah. Not a lot of substance there. Maybe, I don't know, it could well be expectation that ruined that one for me, though, because I was hoping for much more than was there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess in terms of fluff, it's all right.
Yeah. So here's hoping that Penny Dreadful can...
It looks pretty intriguing.
Yeah.
And it looks much, much darker, which I think that sort of concept really needs to be.
Yeah.
So that's quite fun and exciting. There's a couple of films coming out that we're very excited about.
Yeah.
One, which is kind of a sore point for a lot of people in the UK after last night, and that is The Raid 2. And the sore point is the fact that Cineworld seemed to fuck up about 50% of the screenings.
Was it actually the whole... Like,
oh, yeah.
Across all Cineworlds?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, apparently there were incorrect aspect ratios, subtitles dropped, audio dropped.
Wow.
The projector cut out completely at times, crapped out about 90 minutes in, two-thirds of the way through.
That's crazy.
So, I literally have the utmost sympathy for anybody who... suffered that last night, because that must be the worst way. It would just taint your first viewing.
Well, it's like you're
what's
saying,
bound
it's,
to be an amazing film.
You know, it's one thing. I mean, it'd be better almost not to see it at all, because at least then you're still going in when you see it. You're still going in fresh. But now you've kind of had like half of it
you've
spoiled,
had a taster of it,
and you don't really know what has been spoiled. Mm. So,
like, if only we had the ability to watch films for the first time again. I love that.
I just watched Cabin in the Woods all over again.
That seems,
again and again and again.
Like, if you could have a little Men in Black gizmo, but just for films.
That'd be amazing.
Just to, like, Eternal Sunshine, a film out of your brain. That'd be, oh, man.
Why are we not funding this?
Can we, like, the Kickstarter begins
done
here.
You heard it here
Bosh.
First.
We just need the technology now.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's doable. If there's anyone out there who can make a Men in Black machine, please do contact us at mail@goldpress.com.
I think we're stretching it a bit.
Dream big, Phil.
Yeah.
Dream big. The other film that you were particularly interested in.
Yeah, I mean, Hammer, I don't know. Hammer were certainly, I've only seen of their Resurrection, I suppose.
Re-resurrection.
No, well, I was going to say re-something, but then Resurrection seems to do the job on its own.
Re-resurrection. Yeah. It's pushing it. You've had your chance. Stop being greedy.
I've only seen Woman in Black, and I think they perhaps have got the right idea in that, like, they've got a very kind of specific style to them. In terms of their kind of style of horror, it's quite kind of subdued. And
we should probably mention we're talking about the quiet ones right now.
What she said. I was going to get there, but...
the preamble was taking way too long.
there was part of the preamble. The Quiet Ones. So I'm hoping that with that same sort of style, they could pull off a pretty decent movie.
There's such a pedigree.
Mm, yeah.
From that studio that... It's hard to know. Like, with the recent output, it's been fairly hit or miss, I think.
Mm.
So it's at this stage, I don't think it's going to be easy to predict whether or not The Quiet Ones will be any good, but it looks very
good.
Intriguing.
It's got Jared Harris's good cast.
Mm. I think it's screening tonight in quite a few places. So
it looks very. I like the kind of the style of it, and it's very kind of, it's set in the 70s. So it's.
I love anything with that sort of washed out gothic looking cinematography. I love it. it's underused. I really do think it should be used more in modern horror. So yeah, that could be cool.
He's hoping.
Yeah. I think we're going to dedicate a couple minutes talking about what we've seen lately.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to kick off? What have you been viewing recently?
Not a lot horror-wise, to be honest. I've been...
Well, it could be anything.
Massively whoring out Always Sunny in Philadelphia on Netflix. Yes.
See, I've been a fan of that for a while, and I don't know if it's... For some reason, I remembered talking to you about it, and my memory of it was that you said you weren't mad keen on it because of the characters, but then again, it could have been 30 Rock.
No, 30 Rock, what always jarred with me, it wasn't the characters, it's... I think, well, I don't know, so I guess it's a whole...
Tracy Morgan? Jordan?
For one.
What's his real name and what's his character name?
I think Morgan is his real name.
Tracy
Jordan
Morgan.
Is
his... He's an arse.
He is, isn't he?
He's a horrendous human being.
No, I think because of the way 30 Rock is pitched, it seems... A lot of it seems forced. Because it's setting itself as a sitcom in a sitcom world.
Yeah.
You kind of get the sense that it really draws out the fact that it's a stage, it's a written thing, you know.
I think that's where a lot of the jokes come from, though.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that I really enjoy about it, is that it's sort of meta and that it is very, like, you know, I'll line them up, you knock them down, sort of comedy. But I don't think that's a bad thing. Right. Please don't eat my notebook, Kat.
About to say, she wasn't talking about me. I am
Phil,
not
stop eating
any
my notebook.
Notebooks right now. What have you watched?
What have I watched? I've seen a few films lately. Nothing mind-blowing, sadly.
I'm glad you said that, because based on our list...
Yeah.
I felt a similar way.
Well, let's kick off
Certainly
with Pacific Rim.
Pacific Rim, yeah.
Again, I think expectation may have ruined this. No, I enjoyed it while I was watching it, but it was too... I was going to say it was too cartoony, but I guess it was kind of just a live-action cartoon.
Yeah,
so I can't really fault it for that.
Is it Gundam Wing?
I feel like
a lot of those Japanese anime mech.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mech. But I feel like that might be a harsh criticism to say it's too cartoony, because I guess that's what they aimed for.
Yeah.
So in that sense, massive success. But I just found it so... irredeemably forgettable. Like, I completely, when we were coming up with a list of what we watched lately, it took me a good 10 minutes before I kind of went, oh shit, Pacific Rim, because I forgot all about it.
Because I know Ben adored it. He
gave
it 10 on Goldfress.
10 is perfect filmmaking to me.
Mm.
And this is far from, but one thing I will say for it is I hope Michael Bay watched that, because that shat all over Transformers. Those wide shots, If that's possible, if that's achievable, then why the fuck were all his just close-ups and shaky cam?
It's
and...
such a cheap way of filmmaking.
Well, I don't think it's any cheaper, though. It's just...
No, cheap as in...
It's lazy.
Yeah, not cheap as in...
it's a weird decision,
money efficient,
though.
But...
Because if you sort of...
You need to get a sense of scope if you've got giant...
Yeah,
if you've got giant robots fighting giant monsters...
Yeah, and if you film them that close,
then
they could be any size.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one thing that Pacific Rim did.
Ugh,
I'm going to call it that from now on. Your Pacific Dim. Or Specific Rim. If you're a bit of a thicko. I have seen people call it that.
Oh, no.
Naming no names. But yeah, I think Ben was kind of pre-programmed to love that, because he loves anime.
Yeah.
He loves
Harryhausen. I mean, you know,
he loves the big monsters, Japanese stuff.
Speaking of Godzilla...
Yes.
You didn't mention it, but that looks good.
Yes. I'm reserving judgment for now.
Okay.
But the latest trailer, I'm quite excited. Yeah. See, films like that never really blow me away. Like your summer blockbuster type movies. But I do get quite excited about them.
Yeah,
in a
it's nice
sort
to kind of...
14-year-old boy kind of...
No, exactly.
...squee way, but... Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, I just realised it completely slipped my mind that that was coming out.
So in terms of other stuff we've seen, have you just seen It's Always Sunny?
Just trying to go through the stuff. Been watching Criminal Minds. Quite enjoy that. Not really... I mean, I guess it's kind of real life horror, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all...
Takes its inspiration from.
Yeah, serial killers and stuff. Mentions name checks kind of Bundy and...
It's quite Dharma fun. And... it's throwaway fun for me, like in the same way that CSI is.
Yeah.
I quite enjoy with those shows.
Significantly fewer puns.
Which is not always
not a saying it's a bad thing.
It's not always a bad thing.
But no, I really enjoy that. All that kind of, I guess, procedural crime.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. They're very formulaic shows, but doesn't necessarily take away from the enjoyment, does it?
Now I'm just trying to go through. Oh, I watched Captain America.
Oh yeah, of course.
We did mention that.
The second really one, not enjoyed the first. That. Yeah, sorry. He's not that far behind the curve.
Winter Soldier, keeping ahead of the game. Yeah, I really enjoyed that. I really liked it. I think it was, they did something a bit different to the usual Marvel fare in that it was a bit more political and it was a bit more not gritty, but low key.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Subdued.
Because that's Thor.
Although maybe subdued is the wrong word though, because I haven't actually seen it yet, but I've heard there's a lot of explosions.
Yeah, but
so
yeah,
subdued is the wrong
it's
word.
It's like, you know, when you've got kind of a guy with a multimillionaire with, you know, giant rocket hands and can fly versus just a jacked up guy with a shield, you know.
Rocket hands? Spoilers.
It's Iron Man. That's
oh,
what I was getting at. It's Iron Man, yeah, if you compare Iron Man and Captain America, of course one's gonna be more flashy than the other.
Yeah, that's what I kind of like about the Marvel world, though, because they're all completely different.
Yeah, definitely.
That's why I think Avengers worked so bloody well.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah.
In terms of what I've seen, there's a couple of films I wouldn't mind talking about, actually. First one is Lords of Salem.
Okay.
Which, have you seen it?
No.
Okay. What's your opinion on Rob Zombie films?
That says Rob Zombie. Yeah.
What have
I
you
mean,
seen? What haven't you?
Seen House of a Thousand Corpses. Haven't seen Devil's Rejects.
That's the best one.
So I hear. Seen Halloween.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I don't know. I think...
have you seen Halloween 2?
I can't remember.
Wow. Wow. New levels of craptitude for Rob Zombie.
Maybe I have seen it.
Maybe yeah,
I've just completely
no,
wiped
no, no,
it from
no.
my memory.
You'd remember.
Okay.
You'd remember. For yeah. all the wrong reasons.
I'm not... I think they tend to be very... not immature is perhaps the wrong word, but
no, I yeah. think immature is
okay.
quite apt. He's very flashy. He's very he's come from a music background.
Well, exactly.
So I think he's
yeah.
in that music video mindset.
Yeah.
So his films always look great, but they don't always have the substance to mm-hmm. back up the style. I think House of a Thousand Corpses was quite interesting in that it was just weird. It was unlike anything else that came out
yeah.
at that time. And Devil's Rejects took the same characters that, you know, he'd established, built on them a bit, and he created some iconic new villains.
Yeah. yeah.
And that's no mean feat, really.
That is true. That is true.
And then, obviously, both the Halloween films that just were dumb and dumber.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. God. I feel like I needed to... bleach my brain after watching the second one. It was
bad,
so
huh?
bad. And then Lords of Salem.
Okay.
Which I really, really, really wanted to like. And I think I kind of did like it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And if you're not sure, I'm not sure that's necessarily a good thing. But it certainly, it stayed with me for quite a few days after I watched
okay.
it. And I watched it again. Like within a couple of weeks,
okay.
Because I felt like I'd read a few things about it, people's theories on it. There was one theory which is quite similar to something I know we're going to talk about in the second half.
Interesting.
And it was to do with the fact that they think the whole thing is like a manifestation for the main character and her drug addiction.
Okay.
Which is quite interesting from that perspective.
Yeah.
But then you shouldn't have to be armed with that knowledge to be able to enjoy the film.
Of course not, of course not, no.
That's kind of secondary. But it looked fantastic. The cast was awesome. Bruce Davison, like, Dee Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. And for a change, his wife actually did some acting.
Hey.
She wasn't great.
Fancy that.
She wasn't great, but she wasn't, like, I don't think Baby Firefly from the previous, you know, like, from Devil's Rejects and whatever, was that great a character.
Yeah.
She was just kind of a bit... squealy and bouncy, and it was nothing anybody else couldn't have done.
Yeah.
But she was alright in this. I kind of liked her character.
Okay.
In a weird way. And there were some really creepy moments.
Okay.
Genuinely. Not like jump scares, just some very, very almost haunting imagery.
Okay.
Which impressed me.
That's intriguing.
Yeah. But I can definitely see why it's divided people. And I can definitely see why it gets a lot of hate.
Okay, I'll have to keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, and I think the ending fell apart for me.
Okay.
It was, yeah, the whole thing was kind of a foregone conclusion, so it was quite anticlimactic. Yeah. It was just like, ended.
Okay. Ow. There we go.
Yeah. But yeah, worth a watch.
Okay.
The other film, quickly, before we take a break, was Texas Chainsaw 3D, and I just want to take 10 seconds to say, please, if you are considering watching this movie, do not watch this movie. I implore you. Just, like, jab forks in your eyes, because that would be more enjoyable. The only possible reason to watch this film is, well, I would say Alexandra Daddario's boobs, but she doesn't even get them out. She's got the world's most rigid shirt that never quite opens. It was frustrating even for me. So yeah, just don't bother. It's an insult to the legacy. I would say watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre 4 instead of this.
Nice.
Because that's how bad it is.
Noted.
Yeah. So.
And on that note.
On that rather negative note, but it can't be helped, we are going to take a quick break. We're going to refresh our memory on Drag Me to Hell, and then we're going to be back with a little review.
That we are.
As such. Is it review? Discussion?
Discussion. Discussion. Let's say discussion.
So yeah, in a bit.
Mr. Jax, I was wondering if you'd made any decision regarding the assistant manager's position.
It's between Stu and yourself.
Stu Rubin, the new guy?
Stu's someone who's not afraid to make the tough decisions.
I'm perfectly capable of making the tough decisions.
I'll let you know as soon as I decide, okay?
Will you help me? Please.
Okay. We have an elderly woman asking for an extension on her mortgage payment. We would have to throw her out of her house.
We've already granted her 2 extensions. It's a tough decision. Your call.
Another extension is out of the question.
Where will I live?
I'm really sorry.
Never have I begged for anything, but now I humble myself
Mrs.
before
Gennish,
you.
Please.
I beg you.
Please let go. Please let go.
Security!
You shame. Soon it will be you who comes begging to me.
Someone has cursed you.
He's the Lamia, the most feared of all demons.
For the first 3 days, the spirit torments its victims. After that, it will come to take you.
Take me where?
To burn in hell for eternity.
It's coming for me.
Please listen to me. There's nothing coming for you.
How do I get rid of this?
I welcome.
You can give the curse away.
No!
And we're back to talk about Drag Me to Hell.
Okay.
What year was this made?
2009.
2009. I always think it's older than that. I always want to say 2007.
2008. No, it's definitely...
It is 2009 because I remember when we did our top 5 of the last 5 years on Gore Press, 2 people included Drag Me to Hell.
Including me.
Oh, 3 then, in that case.
I think I might have just crowbarred it in.
I think it was you... Dave and Rich, and yes. It was just outside of it, I think, but we allowed it.
Yeah. I remember it because I saw it in my last year of Lincoln at uni.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the few films I've actually seen, gone to the cinema on my own to see.
I've never been to the cinema on my own.
It's weird, isn't it?
Like, I wouldn't mind.
No, well, that's the thing. It's like, well, you're just sitting in a darkened room watching films.
Yeah, it's like, not a social
it's not really
activity.
So it's like, well, why? And actually, I think it's. So films like that lend themselves really well to going alone because all of a sudden you become... Suddenly I became much more aware of the whole audience.
Yeah.
And so it was really, like, fun to see how they were reacting to everything, so...
That's quite cool. See, if we had, like, a Cineworld or something with, like, an unlimited card in Canterbury, I'd definitely take advantage of that.
Me too.
I think I would definitely go more by myself. But there's never anything to see at the stupid Odeon.
I know.
Ugh, fuck ridiculous. You, Canterbury. Although we will have a multiplex in 2017.
Eventually.
Woo, progress. Welcome to the future.
Yeah.
So, 2009.
Mm-hmm.
I was nearly said 6 years old. Like, what year am I in? 5 years old. I always think it's older than that for some reason. Yeah, I've only seen it twice.
Okay.
I'd forgotten quite a lot about it, actually,
yeah.
from the first viewing, yeah. Like, my memory was jogged the whole time. I was like, oh, yeah. Like, but if you'd asked me in the interim, I'd forgotten loads of it.
Yeah.
But certainly, the memorable parts, sure as shit, stayed with me. in terms of... Well, I'll tell you what, before we go any further, do you want to give
synopsis?
Us a synopsis? Yeah, give us a rundown.
So, Alison Lohman plays Christine, who is a... I guess loan manager. She kind of manages loans in a bank.
Loans officer. I don't know what they're called.
She turns down the request of an old kind of Romany gypsy,
haggard bitch,
haggard woman, who prostrates herself.
Which is not as rude as it sounds.
Begging for an extension on a loan, but she gets turned down because she's so eager to get promoted.
Yeah.
One thing leads to another. She gets cursed. She has 3 days to escape. Or at least not escape, but suffer the curse of the Lamia before getting dragged to hell.
Yeah. Now, before any of this happens, we have the very sort of Raimi-esque beginning to set the scene. It's always quite a bold move to start a film without English, and also with a small child getting killed.
This is true.
So, quite brave, for very different reasons, but quite a brave opening, I think. I do quite like things like that, though. Being thrust into a film where nobody's speaking English, and there are very few subtitles, and it's very disorienting.
Yeah, definitely.
I find that works really well for horror. So that was kind of cool. And you get a real feel for the tone of the film and what you're in for. So I thought that was a really great brief to the point opening. I thought it was great. And then obviously we meet our protagonist, heroine, whatever you want to call her. She's pretty great.
She is. She's very good in it.
She is an actress that I've not seen very much of.
No.
I remember watching Matchstick Men, where she was playing much younger, and being very, very surprised when I learned how old the actress actually is. Which I think her and Justin Long are vampires, to be perfectly honest. Either that or those two and Pharrell Williams have all discovered the font of youth somewhere.
And Keanu Reeves,
yeah, god damn it. And Johnny Depp. All those fuckers. Damn it. We need to find this. Somebody needs to trail them. It exists. Maybe the common denominator is money.
I think that's the obvious
thing. That's why we're missing out. We just need to get rich. So
easy
the episode
that.
Of South Park when they discover the cure for AIDS and it's just money. It's just loads and loads of money. That's all we need.
Oh good, I'll trade back.
So obviously it's a very, very Raimi-esque. And it very much feels yeah.
There haven't been many films recently that have been of that ilk.
And it's one of the reasons that I didn't understand a lot of criticism about the new Evil Dead film, because that felt really Sam Raimi to me, like maybe lacking in some of the humour that he would have thrown in, and maybe some of the DIY elements that he'd have done earlier on.
More polished, but
it had more of a gloss about it, I guess. But that to me felt very in keeping. I loved that.
I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
But Drag Me to Hell definitely to me feels like it could be a cousin of the Evil Dead films.
Very much so.
You've not got your Bruce Campbell type Ash.
No.
You've not got that stronger character.
But you have corpses dancing in midair and
it's crazy. It's
crazy squelching sound effects and
Oh god. Yeah, it makes me want to lose my lunch at several points throughout this film. So the acting, Alison Lohman she's kind of it's hard to describe really, because she's very meek.
Yeah.
And softly spoken. She's not a strong character, but at the same time she is.
Yeah.
She's strong enough to lead the film.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. There's enough of a presence to her that
without
she
the character
the
being strong.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Which is all credit to her, really.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. She is quietly charismatic.
Yeah.
I guess. And Justin Long, it was just really nice to see him not doing comedy for a change.
Yeah, it's a bit refreshing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's so rare that he plays straight, and he should do it more often, because he's great in the straight roles. And also in the comedic roles as well. anyone else we need to mention? Obviously.
I was trying to work out who's the guy who sorry, and a cat has just invaded
more
the
cat based japes.
You know the guy she's in competition with?
Yes.
Is that the guy from Hot Rod?
No.
Is it not?
It looks a lot like him though. I'm trying to remember what
because I recognise him from somewhere.
He was, oh god, Chuck? Was he in Chuck? No,
I don't think so.
He was like, oh, he was in something like that. No, I'm thinking of the guy who plays Masuka in Dexter.
Yes,
that's the one who was in Chuck. Which
Google will help
might
us.
Might be racist
a
on my
bit
part.
Racist. Yeah, I mean, there's no one that.
His was kind of a thankless role, though.
I mean, he was very much a. Who I also recognise Dilip Rao.
Oh yeah, what's he been in?
Had to Google him. Inception, of course.
Wow.
And also Avatar.
Ugh. Not an Avatar fan. Those blue feckers that bored me to tears. He used papyrus in the opening.
Oh no.
James Cameron, seriously, fork out for a paid font. Might as well have done it in Curls MT or Comic Sans.
Can you imagine? Wow, that wouldn't have been good. Anyway,
so that was
I think we've deviated a little. Where were we? We were talking about standout actors.
Yeah.
I think that's about it. They were really good.
There was definitely something that you wanted to mention, wasn't there?
Yes. This is something I stumbled across through Cracked. Cracked.com, which I'm a regular purveyor of. Can you be a purveyor of? Reader?
I think you can be a purveyor.
There was a article about kind of movies with hidden meanings, and the author had scouted out a article on slashfilm.com,
mm-hmm.
And it was really interesting. Basically, he's interpreted this whole movie as an analogy for an eating disorder.
Which hadn't even remotely occurred to me,
no.
But when you broke it down for me, it makes a lot of sense.
You know, you think about where the horror comes from, it involves either things coming out of Christine's mouth or going into Christine's mouth.
Oh, God.
She rarely eats in the movie, and when it does, it's pretty disastrous. A lot of the kind of horror takes place in a kitchen environment.
Oh God, the bit at the table with the sort
cake.
Of the in-laws, that really took me back to Brain Dead.
Yeah,
and the custard.
Very much. Oh God, with the ear.
That was horrific.
Yeah. You know, you think about, you know, she's had this history of being crowned the pork queen or queen or certainly, you know, there's a couple of mentions of her being a bigger girl when she was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at it that way, she's kind of, and actually one of the
it makes it all quite poignant.
It does, doesn't it? I mean, you look at a lot of the horrific things that happen, other characters don't react the way you'd expect something quite as horrific, them to react to something quite so horrific. So it's almost like it's being over-dramatised in her own head, because it's a mental illness that she's, you know, she's kind of, that's consuming her.
It makes, like, since she said it, it makes so much sense, but it's not something that would ever have occurred to
me. It's a really interesting interpretation, I thought was one of the things I wanted to mention when we chose to do this.
One thing that made me hate Christine.
Okay.
What kind of arsehole kills their own pet?
You should have seen the reaction in the cinema.
It would not surprise me in the slightest. That made me physically vibrate with anger the first time I saw that film. What kind of stupid bitch would not just go and, like, find a random animal somewhere?
Yeah.
What, would it have to be a pet that you had an emotional bond with?
This is true. This is very true.
Idiot. Idiot. That really, yeah. And any, oh, kitten. Oh.
That was a very cute kitten.
I know. Yeah.
And again, that got regurgitated.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, just the gross out angle in this film was done so superbly. I think one of the worst things, or one of the things that sticks in my memory the most, is just when, is it Mrs. Ganesh?
Ganesh, yeah. Hello, Ganesh. Yeah.
When her teeth come out and she essentially just gums the bottom half of Christine's face.
Chin, yeah.
That made me feel a little bit sick. Of all the things that happen in that film, that is the one thing I take away.
Very visceral. But then again, that's Sam Raimi back on Evil Dead form.
Yeah. And yep. this is why Drag Me to Hell is one of the reasons that I think, I firmly believe, somebody should basically steal all of Peter Jackson's money and just make him go back to basics.
I've won that so much for so long.
I would be so excited to see.
Me too, like a proper brain dead, bad taste.
Yeah, that's that style, but kind of up to date, but bare bones.
Yeah. Like
physical effects, no name actors, nothing like that. Not a hobbit in sight. That would please me greatly.
I think he's on that. He's very much on that bandwagon, isn't he, right now?
Yeah. Meh. I'm over it.
What did you think of it?
What did I think of the film?
Yeah.
I enjoy it a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's not... It wouldn't have made my top five... Well, it didn't make my top five of the last 5 okay. years. I'm not even sure it would have made the top 10.
Really?
To be honest. I enjoy it a lot, but obviously not enough for me to want to have watched it again yeah. in the last 5 years.
I think
years.
Maybe the... Again, you know, the actual... experience of watching it played a part in, because like I said, I really remember the audience's reaction when I was in the cinema.
Well, this is what I've been saying to you about one of the reasons I love Fright Fest so much, is there's no better crowd to watch a good or even a shit horror film
yeah,
with
than horror fans.
You get caught up in the experience yeah. of it, which I just find yeah really incredible. So I think that definitely plays a part. That's not to say it isn't a fantastic film and doesn't belong on a top five,
yeah,
but I think that would probably have played, you know.
Okay. I think it was just something a bit, one that I think it also, what I liked about it is that it stood out a bit, like I said, because there haven't been a huge amount of that kind of fairly,
it not, was just so 80s.
Not slapstick, but yeah
slapstick
yeah. Well, it's yeah it is, isn't it? It's, I wasn't sure it was quite as like,
there weren't like the buckets of blood exactly. that you come to expect from like slapstick movies, but I think it's probably yeah. up there.
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons I liked it so much, is yeah. that, you know, there aren't really that many horror films out there that are like that these days. So
that's what I loved about it. I mean, you know what, I'm such a friggin' stickler for 80s films in general, 80s slashers, 80s, just anything 80s. It's the best decade. But it really took me back to, like, the Evil Dead films, Return of the Living Dead, that sort of thing, and obviously Peter Jackson, his early stuff. And there's been so, like, I can't think of anything else that's in quite the same league in terms of, yeah, in terms of the splatstick element, in terms of just the sheer gross out factor,
yeah,
but also the humour, the fact that it was actually quite scary in places as well. It did look a little bit glossy, like it shouldn't really have been possible,
yeah,
but he really pulled off, you know, a bit of a hat trick in terms of gore, acting. It looked very good. It was scary, and it was just a really, really good film.
Yeah,
and it worked as a throwback, it works as a modern film. Yeah, maybe I like it more than I thought I did. In hindsight,
I'm glad I made you realise this.
Yeah. Are we going to give out of 10 scores?
Go on then, you first.
No, you first, because I need to think. Give me 30 seconds.
Okay. I am going to give it a 8.5.
8.5 is high.
It's high. It is high. Well, I really enjoyed it. Like I said, I think I really appreciate what it did. I think it
works on a multitude of levels,
it,
I think.
Yeah, it kind of... It referenced, like, it's Sam Raimi. Not back on form, because it implies he's...
He was off form.
Yeah, but, you know, with Spider-Man and everything, it just it deviated a bit from his from his roots. I see him doing what he kind of...
What it did. Looks like
did
he really
Ted
fucking
Raimi
enjoys.
Did Ted Raimi have a cameo in it? I know it's complete...
Oh, I can't remember. I'd be
tangent.
Very surprised if he didn't.
Yeah.
I'd be
well,
very
I was trying
surprised.
To remember whether he saw, because he usually does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He does in his movies, but anyway.
He has weird cameos in all sorts. He got his head beat in with a meat tenderizer in Midnight Meat Train,
yeah,
didn't
he's,
he?
He's the he's in Evil Dead.
Yeah, Henrietta.
Yeah. but yeah, no. I think back to the rating.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was refreshing, which is a weird choice considering.
We've called it a throwback.
Yeah.
It felt refreshing, though,
yeah.
just because it hadn't been done in such a long time.
Yeah.
Or it hadn't been done that well.
Definitely. You know, and it works on multiple levels. There's sort of analogies drawn from it, mm-hmm. which is interesting, you know, even if they're not necessarily...
It always lends the film a certain weight, like with the eating disorder link that you mentioned from that article. I think it always lends a film a certain weight when you can read that much into it and it's all plausible.
Definitely.
Like you find yourself thinking, is this what the director intended?
Yeah.
That's always great. That's a good feeling.
So, yeah, I think that deserves an 8.5.
8.5 is good. I agree with everything you said, absolutely. I think it does work on several levels. I think it's a weird amalgamation. It feels like several movies thrown together in a blender.
Yeah.
And it almost feels like it shouldn't work because it's so over the top in places. Like, the gross out humour is so inescapably in your face. It's horrendous. It's very unsubtle.
Yeah.
And then you've got the shadows in her house and the weird noises, and that is very subtle.
Like, thing that's the shadow that's chasing her around.
And that's not, I guess it's obvious and it's loud and it's, you can't really avoid it, but at the same time it does feel more subtle.
Yeah.
Or it feels like it belongs in a more subtle horror film.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it works. And throwing all these elements together, it feels like it should just not work, but it really does.
Mm.
And it's just got that great 80s feel about it that I absolutely love.
Definitely.
And it recalls so many films from that era that nothing else has really come close to in the last few years.
Yeah.
So I think I'd give it an 8.
Okay.
It's a flaw, you know, it's not flawless.
No, of course not.
If you're working on the assumption that, like, one is utter trash,
mm-hmm.
and 10 is perfect filmmaking, then I would say 8 is fair.
Yeah.
It's an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah.
I actually looked up what it's got, but
I would imagine that it's quite high, because it seems like quite a crowd pleasing film.
Yeah.
It's one you could watch by yourself and enjoy. It's mm-hmm. definitely one you could get
definitely
your mates around.
Yeah.
And get a bit raucous.
Definitely.
So yeah, I think it's definitely got that mass appeal and a crowd-pleasing element. And because it's a 15 certificate, it's not an 18, it's going to appeal to people who don't necessarily watch horror a lot.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably going to have quite a high mark, I reckon, for a horror film.
Yeah. Let's see what it says. Drag Me to Hell.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's...
This is Rotten Tomatoes, mm-hmm. or IMDb. Okay.
92%.
Wow, I would not have said that high.
I've never quite worked out whether that's 92% of people wrote positive reviews, or it's got... I think that's how
Rotten
Tomatoes
works. Yeah, they get different scores, don't they? They get the user reviews and the critics' reviews.
Yeah.
And I think the overall is just the two shmushed together.
But yeah, 92%.
That's the technical term.
So
92 is incredible. For a horror film, that's that.
It's a very
for a modern
film.
Horror, that's rare. That's very rare, but deserved.
Definitely.
So yeah, we've come out of this. I've had my opinion changed a tiny bit.
You're welcome.
It's improved. And we definitely enjoyed watching it.
Mm.
I kind of want to. I want to watch it again now. This always happens. This happens every single podcast we do. We end up talking about something for 20 minutes, and I go, oh, "God damn it! Now I need to watch it again." I feel like I need to pick up on certain things that I feel like I missed.
I deliberately watched it with that kind of eating disorder thing in mind.
I might have to watch it again with the same.
It's really interesting to pick up on.
Yeah.
On so many, there's so many levels there.
Yeah, that's cool. That's very cool. I like a film that leaves you thinking.
Definitely.
That's always fun.
Definitely.
So yeah, on that note, I think we're going to leave you with Theory of a Dead Man.
Yeah.
Funnily enough,
Drag Me to Hell.
Aptly titled Drag Me to Hell.
What do we do next
week?
Why we
chose
we gonna...
that. Well, if we're going to go for my suggestion...
Fright Night.
Yeah?
Good work.
The original, of course. If ever we talk about a film, it's always the original, unless we say otherwise. And that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah. That's a good choice.
Fright Night's fun.
It was, yeah? Yet to see it.
It's great. Okay. It's great. yeah. Don't watch the remake, though.
Okay.
It's not very good. Fair. David Tennant's kind of cool, but... Like,
that's just generally
too campy
fact, really, isn't it? David Tennant is generally quite cool.
Yes. I'm not a Doctor Who fan, though.
Yeah, to their own.
Don't lynch me.
Yeah, I just said each to their own.
I meant the listeners.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about me. I was like, it's fine.
You're a pacifist. I know you didn't do anything. So we've had a couple of new things up at GorePress in the last few weeks. I can't remember what off the top of my head. But definitely go and check out gorepress.com.
Yep.
I have a couple of screeners that I need to watch and review. Yeah. So there'll be some more stuff in the next couple of weeks.
I'm still talking about a review of Woman in Black.
Get it done!
It's Lurgy. The Lurgy got me.
Lurgy in your fingers, yeah, so you can't type.
Exactly. But yes, that was a phenomenal, phenomenal show.
Well, okay, so, that's cool. I look forward to reading
spoilers,
the review then.
Good reviews.
Oh, well, no, I'm not bothered. No, I don't want to read it. You've ruined it.
Guess where I'll do it then.
So there'll be some new stuff. There'll be some new content soon. We are having a logo drawn up.
We are.
By the inimitable James State. He did the...
You may remember from...
He did the Gorecast artwork, mm-hmm, which was just brilliant, phenomenal. And I've seen sort of the preliminary
Have
sketches
you?
Of the new one, and it's amazing.
I haven't been treated to this yet.
Yeah, so I'm very excited about that. Do you know what? I should have written his website down. He has got a blog. But do find him on Twitter and commission him to draw amazing things. As always, if you've got any feedback, find us on Twitter. We are at Radio GorePress. You can find us on Facebook. We've changed over now, so Facebook... Oh, no, it's not.
It's just search
URL.
Radio.
Yeah.
Search Radio
search
GorePress,
for Radio
on,
GorePress
Facebook.
On Facebook. And if you want to drop us a line, then you can always email us on at mail@gorepress.com. While I've been waffling, Phil's done some Google Foo. And it
That's
looks
his
like
blog.
James's blog is stateoftheart.blogspot.co.uk. State spelled STAYTE.
Yeah.
So go check him out.
He's also on Twitter and Tumblr and DeviantArt and
all the things.
All those social.
That modern goth
stuff.
But on that note, we'll be back in a fortnight, hopefully.
We shall.
Unless Phil comes
Lurgy
down with some
permitting.
Of the mystery disease. with a bit of a discussion on Fright Night. And maybe we could do like a top 5 vampire themed.
That could work.
List, perhaps.
That works.
Until then, thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Remember those good times we had? I thought you were my friend. What I felt to be a dream, just a nightmare in the end. I trusted you, you trusted me. Nothing could go wrong. Till I finally figured out you were evil all along. What a gift to see you gone. I never felt this way before. I'd love to see that face you make when I walk out the door. Cause God can save you from all your sins. You threw your life away. You let the devil. Escape. What I felt to be my life was just a big mistake. I thought of you, I thought it through, everything was clear. The only way from this cage was for you to disappear. What a gift to see you gone, I'm sure you've heard this all before. I'd love to see that face you make when I walk out the door. Cause God can save you from all your sins.